Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Chef Eduardo. How you doing? Love that little intro, rocking little tune right there. Theme song for Foodomania meets Quarantine Mania. We actually have a brand new track that we'll preview on tomorrow's show, which is really cool, which is, interestingly enough, called The Quarantine Caravan. And actually, excited about it because it's the soundtrack, the main soundtrack for a little documentary that we've been working on here from Foodomania, which we'll be posting up on Facebook and Instagram about another week or so. We're still editing the video and do a final mix on the song, but we're going to preview it tomorrow, which I'm excited about. Got to do something during quarantine, you know. Hope everybody's having a decent day. So many emotions, so many different things going on. It's really important once in a while to just try to have a day that's kind of like a normal day. And what I mean by that is that your whole body is changed right now, your whole way of thinking, your whole time space. In other words, lots of us, I know everybody, it doesn't matter what you're doing, even if you're working an essential position and going to work every day, still your time factor is kind of screwy. Days are bleeding into nights, into days, and especially if you're quarantining, and a lot of people who are having to stay inside, 8 to 9 weeks is a long time, everybody. But I always think about it like this. Imagine that it's the winter time. And other than usually having to get up and go to work, you drive or walk or whatever in the winter, and it gets darker earlier. You know, the whole time is sort of messed up. So I'm thinking, well, aside from the beautiful weather and the temptingness to just be outside in it, which helps a lot also, as far as the cabin fever, when that sets in, it just feels like, you know, it's a rainy day. You're not really going out. Whatever happens, it's really an amazing possibility to slip yourself into that winter frame of mind, you know, and just like you'd be if it was really cold for a week or two and snowing, you know, you'd be inside. Anyway, another sort of, you know, little change of brain. A couple of people have been telling me things that they've been doing, aside from the fact of trying to get out. Some of the people that I know who were back east or more urban areas that don't have the easy accessibility sometimes to just getting out to a park and taking a walk or walking along the water are finding, you know, more creative things to do to kind of deal with that. Now, they'll open their windows, they'll put the air conditioning on, they'll just kind of get fresh air through the windows, of course. But if they happen to have a big computer screen or a flat screen TV, lots of times they're just basically putting on beautiful footage of, like, you know, the White Cliffs of Dover or some beautiful beaches and just keeping that sort of in the background. And then on top of that, what they're doing, because some of them have some built-in soundtracks that are pretty good, but what they've been doing is putting their little stereos on, you know, pretty low, but just have maybe slow waves coming against the shore, not a storm, but just what it would really be like if you were sitting not too far from the ocean shore. And they kind of put that on in the background. And honestly, everybody's told me it really helps. Puts them in the mood. You might be in the house in shorts and T-shirts and just, you know, with a cold drink and, you know, just doing things around the house. It doesn't feel so claustrophobic. So basically, that's really, you know, that's really a thing that so many of us are dealing with. It's just that physical, spiritual sort of change in our brains. And lots of creative ideas are coming through. People are doing amazing, absolutely, seriously amazing creative things. Lots of videos, music. I saw some people doing cooking classes, which is great. Saw one yesterday that came out of Israel, and it was beautiful. It was a traditional challah bread, which actually is the kind of bread, if you get it, it's the egg-grated bread, so to speak. It certainly makes the best French toast you've ever had in your life. But you know, that's been really creative. Anyway, there's so much news and so much stuff to process. So we got to kind of figure out what our flow is. And we've had 9 weeks to do it, ladies and gentlemen, and kids of all ages. So hopefully you're making the adjustments okay. Interesting stuff going on. There was a 6.5 magnitude earthquake in Nevada today, which is crazy, and along with everything else. Just not getting all the reports in of what the damage might have been, but it rattled the state of Nevada, which is, someplace that they get some earthquakes occasionally. It used to be when they had the nuclear tests that happened, you know, in those areas in the state of Nevada, that you get that little bit of rumbling. But it happened pretty much about 4:30, a little before 4:30 in the morning, and it came out at about 6.4 this morning, and pretty much it's evidently the third largest earthquake that hit that area, and they've never had even one close to it for 66 years, supposedly. This is about 6.4, 6.5, and it was felt all the way from Reno, Nevada to Lake Tahoe, California, right in that little area there, and throughout the mountains in Sacramento and the valleys of California, that far away. So it was definitely a shaker. No reports of any real damage yet, but, you know, it's still only been maybe 10, 12 hours, so to speak. But if you do have some loved ones out there or any people around there, you might want to check on them. Just make sure everything is okay. Mother Nature doesn't, joins hands with the coronavirus. It's crazy, just like everything else that's going on sometimes. It's just, you don't know what to expect. Anyway, that was something that was shake, rattle, and roll. A couple of different people were concerned about some stuff. Some of the, there was a couple of pranksters out there, people are making, doing these little kinds of jokes for different people, thinking that sort of cabin fever, let's see, practical jokes. And I'm not going to get into the specific ones right now, but I just want to say that, you know what? There's enough going on. Sometimes, like, hiding behind a door and scaring somebody right now is not the greatest thing. Somebody took what they've been doing is they've been ringing doorbells and dumping a bunch of, paper, shredded garbage, not anything like food, but just, papers and cardboard and cups and plates on people's doorsteps. Most of the time, they knew who the people were doing things like that. I guess you think it's kind of funny, but I don't think it's funny when people are going through enough stuff right now. There's, it's just really interesting. The other thing that's happening a lot, I'm noticing, is I get sucked into it, but people have been talking about, doing little video things, and they're using Zoom to do concerts and doing group playings, bands playing together. I think it's fantastic. I've seen some plays being done now and lots of podcasts. It's really cool. Then you shrink it down, and there's this app that's been around for a while called TikTok, and it seems to be really big. It's hard to be pretty big against young kids, 13, 14-year-olds that are having, have smartphones, and they're sort of making the idea of, I think it's a under a minute video or something like that. And there's just hundreds and hundreds of them. Now, I have to say, there's some stuff on there that's kind of entertaining, but it's almost like the steroid short version of America's Funniest Home Videos. And I would say about 50% of the content are practical jokes. And then you're basically just seeing how somebody will react. Usually it's couples, young couples, who have a lot of time on their hands and they're doing funny things. In other cases, people are using the technology in a really cool way. I love it when I see a young person, maybe 12, 13 years old, and I've seen a couple just slightly younger, who are using their phones to shoot footage, and make some sort of movie, and then using very simple editing programs to make these very cool videos and then uploading it to TikTok. And so I've seen magic tricks, and I've seen really some really very cool, cool little things. But then I've also seen what's happening is that it seems like and I've been reading some statistics about this, that the age bracket of this TikToking is starting to increase. And you're starting to see a lot more people in their early 20s, and on up. And I've actually seen some people who are a bit older than that. It seems like a lot of moms are getting into it now, being home, having that little bit of time. You're going to see how to put your makeup on good, how to restring your ballet slippers. How are you going to do the big curl on your head? How are you going to remove eyelashes? How does all that sort of stuff in about 1 minute? Best thing I saw yesterday was somebody creating. They went to the dollar store. They bought two boxes of $1. You know, some kind of Duncan Hines or maybe Olds or Pillsbury simple cake mixes, and they usually sell for a few dollars anyway. But you know, they were making a point that they only spent a dollar on this. What they did is basically these recipes are just you add water, and it worked fine, you know, for a generic okay cake, and then you can make a frosting, blah, blah, blah. But what they did was they took this simple box of, you know, cake mix, like a chocolate cake mix, and they changed the recipe. Instead of the water, they're using milk. It normally doesn't have any eggs. They're putting four eggs in one box. And then there's a couple other items that they were doing, too, and then they were baking it off as cupcakes. And evidently, using the simple, you know, cream sort of, you know, frosting that you buy in the tube, they somehow, you know, I guess they cook them halfway and then they take them out for a minute. They spray the, you know, the frosting, whatever it is, into the center of the cupcake, take it out. You know, evidently they cut the end of it with a little scissors. They get a clean cut, let it fall back into the cupcake, put it back in the oven for another 15 minutes, and you get the blackout, you know, cupcakes with the white creamy frosting. I saw somebody do an amazing churro recipe that was really easy, really simple. So for that, it's good. There's a lot of it that are practical jokes, a lot of it that are, you know, instructionals. But that's how people are putting their creativity out. And I think it's good. The ones that I like the best, actually, are when people are outside, they're doing some different things, they're playing with the dogs, playing with the kids. Anyway, I guess long story short, for 80 episodes now, we've been trying to come up with things and suggestions based on what we've tried and based on what we see other people trying to try to get through this pandemic and what's going on right now. And, you know, there are thousands of incredible ideas. And, you know, initially when we first started doing what we're doing, we wanted to make sure that we could, you know, take a little bit of your time during the day and give you something to be creative and fill it. And I've been really proud and happy to get some of your notes and email thanking me for some food ideas, because some of the stuff is done off the air. People have been writing me in and I've been corresponding with them, sending them videos or sending them food links and things like that, music links as well, and the ability to send me some of your material, which I can air on some of our shows, to give you some airplay out there, and then you guys can do your own promotion. So it helps us and it helps you guys. But it's getting to the point now where really we're at a point where a lot of things are changing really quickly. And what I've been saying, I've said it for years, and what I'm saying, to me, I have a term that I use when somebody is basically going to do something, and they're going to plan something. They have a strategy usually. And in my feeling is sometimes it's an open strategy, meaning they'll give you some options so you can make your own mind up. And other times it's like serious salesmanship where they're blanketing the communication with suggestions and then trying to back them up with high hopes and you know, in some cases, not necessary factual data, but things that sound good and feel hopeful to get everybody to get on board. And that's totally fine. You know, we live in a country that's a free country for the most part, but the freedom is based on what we deal with, how we deal with ourselves. We can't always depend on the government, and we always can't depend on friends and cousins and uncles to respect that idea that we're entitled to make our own decisions. And obviously, I'm not saying to break the law. I'm saying that if you want to watch a show, if you want to teach your kid in a certain way, if you want to observe certain, you know, facts and figures that people have done lots of research on and follow, you have every right to do that. But I don't want any of us to get, you know, what I say, you don't want to drink the Kool-Aid. Now, as somebody who's been around, you know, the government, you know, rules and regulations and laws most of my life, and thank goodness I've always pretty much done the right thing. And once in a while I've got into a little, made some stupid decisions, and that might have caused a little bit more of a problem. But I'm still here, and thank goodness I can say I worked it out. But I usually, one of the things that probably slid me off the trail or off the path was the times that I actually stuck to my guns for something I believed in. And those were usually, listen, we have a right to express ourselves. We have a right to share certain things, and we have a right to, you know, to take care of, you know, ourselves when need be. Meaning if there's a family issue and, you know, for some reason you have to stay home from work and you feel that's important, even though your job is important too, you are able to be able to call your employer and let them know as far in advance as possible that you're not going to be able to come in that day and tell them, you know, a simple version why. And, you know, if you live that way, if you spend, you know, most of your time being able to know that you can just say it like it is, and you don't have to be looking over your shoulder or wondering what you were doing. Well, that hasn't always been the case for me, because there were many years and many parts of my life where I wasn't able to say it exactly like it was. And, you know, in hindsight, I feel so much better about finally saying it out loud and trying to make apologies where I could and, you know, correct the behavior and talk about it to other people that are struggling with the same things I did many years. I feel good about that. I feel like at least, you know, I'm being honest and I'm being taking certain ideas to people, and hopefully they'll benefit from my mistakes and other people's mistakes. Okay, so when I say that, when I'm talking about that, and I talk about don't drink the Kool-Aid, be careful, everybody, right now as to what you're really focusing on as far as spirituality and when it comes to the COVID-19. The most important thing should be first and foremost is the sorrow and the respect to all the people that have given their lives so far that have been taken from us. And some of it, unfortunately, was a result of the virus. Their weak immune systems, they maybe didn't catch it in time. Maybe they had other things going on in their lives. Maybe they didn't think they were really sick and they stayed home. They were living by themselves. And they decided to fight it out like they have colds many times, but it got the best of them in a really quick amount of time. And in a couple of days, they couldn't get the help they needed and they passed. First thing that I want everybody to think about is that sadness and sorrow of the loss for them and their families. You know, whatever the response is, you're going to hear a lot of these. I have to say it's brilliant, and I do not respect it and I don't agree with it. But they are pulling out, and when I say they, the current administration, there's a lot of good people within the administration, Republicans as well, that are trying to do the best that they can, but so many of them drank the Kool-Aid. And even if it's the people that we really trust to tell us like it is, they're being silenced and they're not allowed to step up to the microphone. And as a result, they're being interviewed by other news organizations, which again is freedom of speech, and then they're alienating them, their great heroic activities and work, to the boss man who thinks that he has the answers to everything that they know, even though they spent their whole lives doing research and being in that medical field. So a lot of people are opening quickly. They're starting 48 out of 50 states. It's too early on so many levels to do that. And the thing I could say is one thing, for somebody like myself in the category that I'm in, and a lot of my listeners are, who are 55 or so plus, who, and I say 55, they've been saying 65, 70, I'm saying mid to late 50s, because a lot of people, sadly, in the mid to late 50s, are not in the shape they could be. They're not necessarily bicyclists or runners or walkers. They eat okay, they work hard, but their bodies, they're not taking the greatest care of themselves. And hopefully, and I've talked to dozens of people who have taken advantage of the shutdown to be able to try to take care of themselves, because they know they could easily slip into the couch and the frozen pizza world, you know, every single day and night. But the idea is that I really believe that the powers that be who are pushing for this opening were thinking in terms of, well, you know, the seniors and the ones that are older, they've had good lives, and look, you know, life goes on. Somebody's going to have to be sacrificed. I hate to put it in those terms, but it's true. It's really, really true. And I think that's where independence and strength comes in, and prayer, of course, that right now you have to take care of your family and yourself. And if you don't feel comfortable going out to a restaurant, don't let your friends or people talk you into it. Order to go if that's what you want to do. I know we're all missing that camaraderie. That's my business. That's what I do for a living. And I certainly miss working with my kitchen team and working with front of the house for us and the customers and that nonstop adrenaline that happens for those 10-hour days. giving people something really good to eat. One of the reasons I love being a musician and I love being a chef is because sometimes your appreciation is instant. You make something good for somebody, they like it, they tell you, hey, that was delicious, so thank you. You feel good. Same thing with a song. If you perform in something and you play something, you get a good response from your audience of either 1 or 2,000. It's instant gratification. You know that you did your best on both of those fronts and that you were appreciated, and you appreciate yourself that way. So all that said, it's hard, especially in the service industry when so many non-essential businesses are closed, to be able to help your customers, to help somebody find it with their daughter's communion dress, or have somebody to find that perfect pair of shoes or that bicycle they've been hoping to get for a long time. So some of that stuff's going to start opening up little by little. And they've adapted the habits of having plexiglass between the customer and the counter. They've put stickers on the floor. They've set up outdoor tables to be able to get things pre-ordered and pick them up. So there's a lot of stuff that part of it I feel comfortable about. When I don't still feel comfortable about is many, many people who are not out there wearing masks when they're out in public, in stores or walking around, the parking lots of stores, if they're on the trail and they're walking or if they're biking. I've heard a dozen times over the last 3 or 4 weeks while I was, out walking or working out even on the property and on one of the roads, it's sort of been quieted down like about 80%, but there's still people walking in people cars. And I've seen people in groups, but I've also seen them cough and talk really loud and sing really loud. And that's all part of that spray, which stays supposedly in the air when it's still for up to 8 hours. If they were wearing a mask, that would have prevented that from happening, especially to the people you're walking with or biking with. So those are the things that I really want to see become more of a habit. Don't go by, what's going on, what you see on TV with a specific person who refuses to wear a mask. That's total ego, that's stupidity, and, you're never going to change that. But don't use that as an example, like it's okay, that means you're tough if you don't. But actually, I have to say, as a man, I've seen more men wear the most creative, great masks. And my hats out to you guys. Thank you, that you can even actually have your baseball hat on, your ball cap, everybody was a ball cap, I personally know, but, and then have your nice groovy mask on. I think that's a really cool image. It just depends on what color your mask is and what color your hat is. I'm kidding. Most important that your color of your smile is big and that your heart is pumping. Gigantic, and that your compassion is the color of purple, gorgeous sunset. That's what we have to do. We got to take care of spread, take care of mutual respect. Here's the deal: if you go into a gas station, and you go into pump gas, and you see a bunch of cars there, and people waiting online, or people in the outside the store having a smoke or talking. Stay in your car and go someplace else. Number one, it's too bad that, you're not able to, you drove all the way over to the store. But it's better for you to get back in your, back on the street and head to a Plan B market or store. Or head out during times that it's really quiet, which is, mid-morning, early in the morning, of course. Though a lot of places now, to save on labor costs and stuff, have reduced their hours. Even some of the convenience store gas stations now are down to most of them used to open at 7 or 8 and now opening at 9 or 10, and they're closing as early as 7 or 8 as opposed to maybe 10 in the past. But those are the times to go. The healthiest times to go is early in the morning or mid-morning. But if you see a crowd out there, stay it. Now, if you also have your kids in the car, let your kids sit in the car. If you're sure the engine and it's within a couple of feet of where you're going into the store entrance, lock the doors or whatever you have to do, but don't bring them in. I don't really like to see kids coming to the grocery market with their folks. It's not necessary. Even if you're there, you only have a limited time and don't have child care. see if you can plan it out differently when you do make those shopping trips for essential stuff. I think it's really important. And that's what we're up against right now, because as more and more businesses open out, there's going to be already more people on the street. I saw people by the little lakes starting to drop their fishing lines in, and they're a little close. I don't know how you can go on a fun hike on this crowded trail and maintain your distance. Plus, remember, you're walking by other people who are out of breath, who might be coughing or sneezing, who might be talking really loud or even singing. That's all spray. So it's even most important, really, at that point in time, to get clear that you are covered up before you go out there. All right. I'm talking about so much of the same stuff all the time, but you know what? That's how I'm feeling today. I'm feeling excited about the weather. I'm excited about the sound you hear in the background. It's the lawnmower and the birds, and people are outside and doing their stuff. Yards are looking nice. I've had to mow literally. Usually it's about every week and a half, but not now. Now it's about every 5 days. About to get out there for an hour or so myself. A little bit later, I like to do it after 7, before 9, because it's really quiet on the streets at that point, except for my little motor. But it's okay. But I'm hoping that all I'm doing today and today's show is talking to you about things that hopefully will make you feel better, things that will give you a chance to really, have a break. All right, that's what I'm saying. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We're going to go out with a song that I just totally love. And I'm playing it because, first of all, I played this one a couple of weeks ago when it was Passover. And it was really, really cool. It was, a song that I love. We had the Passover special that we aired that really went good. And thank you, everybody, so much for listening to that and giving me the feedback. But there's a song that I just love, which was Go Down Moses, but it was a version by Louis Armstrong. And the reason I'm playing is because I was watching a rerun of an old What's My Line show it's this old 50s panel show where they always have a secret contestant and people have to ask who it is, and today it happened to be Louis Armstrong. And I just love him so much, and it was just so great to have him, to see his face and have him put up. What they usually do is they have to disguise their voices. So what happens is they have, hi, are you in the show business? And you imagine the songwriter go, yes, and that was really quite funny. And then he was really nice enough. At the time, he had a huge hit with a song called Hello Dolly, which was from a Broadway play. That was an incredible play. And the theme song was called Hello Dolly. And when it went to the TV or it went to different performances, it was just really, really the perfect song to have somebody like Louis Armstrong do. In my opinion, it couldn't have been better. So I think we'll go out with a little bit of that. And here it goes.
Good day. My name is Stuart Glasser.
Go down, Moses. Let my people go.
So the Lord said, go down.
Go down.
Moses.
Moses.
Way down.
Down
in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go.